Good morning and welcome to Tuesday morning, March the 19th in 2024 on When I Rise. Today we continue Year B, the Liturgy of the Palms, or Palm Sunday. And on the Tuesday of the week, I'd like to take a look at the Psalm passage, which comes to us from this week from the Revised Common Lectionary. And this week of the church's calendar year, so we find ourselves in Psalm 118. And we'll read verses 1 and 2 and then jump ahead to verses 19 through 29. So let me read that passage, provide a couple points for reflection, and then we'll spend our time praying along the theme that we find there. Thanks for making us part of your morning on When I Rise. Let's allow our souls to rise and meet God together in a time of prayer. Psalm 118, verses 1 and 2, and then verses 19 through 29. Acclaim the Lord, for he is good. Forever is his kindness. Let Israel now say, forever is his kindness. Open for me the gates of justice. I would enter them, and I would acclaim Yah. This is the gate of the Lord. The just will enter it. I acclaim you, for you have answered me, and you have become my rescue. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. From the Lord did this come about. It is wondrous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has wrought. Let us exult and rejoice in it. We beseech you, Lord, pray, rescue. We beseech you, Lord, make us prosper. Blessed who comes in the name of the Lord, we bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he shines upon us. Bind the festive offering with ropes all the way to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I acclaim you. My God, and I exalt you. Acclaim the Lord, for he is good. Forever is his kindness. This is the word of God for us. All right, so I know that we mentioned it before, but this refrain that we find in our reading today, it comes up a couple times in the Old Testament, and it comes up in the New Testament talking about the sacrifice of Jesus. And so once again, in verse 22, it says, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. From the Lord did this come about. It is wondrous in our eyes." And this is something that really begins to ring true, and it preaches to us during this Easter season, because what we'll see at Palm Sunday during the reading and the preaching of the text is that Jesus enters in Jerusalem, and there's like this wild affirmation for him. Crowds, almost like a ruckus crowd, wanting God to save us now. People who are on the brink of desperation, they know that Jesus has what it takes to rescue them. They've seen him do miraculous things. They've listened to his preaching. Everyone's been talking about it. So Jesus can be our Savior, right? And then what happens a week later? Like, there's crowds of people rejecting Jesus, and they leave him all alone hanging on a cross. And so once again, as the lectionary divines are picking up text to try to show from the Old Testament story how these things were hinted at, these things were echoing and mentioned in Israel's ancient text, they come to this one and they include it, and I think it's important. Where does this come from? The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. So we've mentioned it before, but there is a tale behind this passage that as they were gathering in all of the materials to build the first temple, Solomon's temple, if you can recall from that long passage where Solomon, because he's got all this favor with other local communities, begins to go to different vendors, different parts of the known world at that time, gets like the best building materials possible, like the cedars in Lebanon. And so like all these service orders go out, you know, purchase orders of all these materials, and they come, you know, into the Holy Land, and they begin to come to the Temple Mount, and they're beginning to survey all the different materials. Like, there wasn't like a packing list, you know, and an instruction list where you could double check it and vet it to make sure you have all the pieces, and there's no step-by-step process really about how these things all fit together. And so the old story goes, and this is extra biblical, so you just take it with a grain of salt, but the story goes, like, as they're looking at the stones for the temple, like, there's one like quite a bit bigger than the rest, and they thought it wasn't useful because it didn't look like the rest. You know, it'd be like stick out like a sore thumb. And so they rolled it down the Kidron Valley, deep down into the valley. And as they began to, you know, map out how they're going to build this temple, it dawned on them, oh shoot, that big stone, we actually do need it, right? And so then they have like this interesting task of going down to get that stone and bringing it, that heavy stone, up the hill once again so they could build the temple, like the zigzag up the hill to try to get in place. And they're wiping sweat off their brow, probably saying mean and nasty things to the foreman, you know, of the building project. And so, and all the stones kind of rests on this cornerstone, right? Like there's a good chance if you walk by an older building, there's a cornerstone that's placed there, whether or not it's useful or if it's just for decoration and show. It's got like its dedication date and, you know, things like that. This is what we're talking about here. And so there's this sense that it's kind of like a wise truism that sometimes something that's looked over or dismissed can actually become quite critical for the days to come. We even see this in like movies and stories where someone who's often overlooked might actually be the most critical piece to something coming to pass. I think of like the Lord of the Rings and the Hobbit, you know, these halflings, these hobbits from the Shire. They're not really impressive. They don't know how to fight. You know, no bony fides of battle. But when it mattered the most, like they were useful for a critical piece of the mission. And I think it's the same what we see at Easter. Jesus is a Galilean. He's from Nazareth. Even one of his future disciples says, can like anything good come from Nazareth, right? And so he's looked over, and the ancient prophecies of Isaiah, you know, talk about how like a bruised reed he would not break, like he really wasn't impressive in appearance, but now becomes like the one that all history, all creation revolves around, you know? And so one of the things that we could say at Easter is, because Jesus was despised, we can have salvation. Like this world proved that it wasn't fit to steward the promises of God, that they rejected the Holy One. And so someone needed to take over the God of this age's place. And that's one of our oldest atonement theories, is that what Jesus did on the cross is that it provoked the devil to overplay his hand, and therefore it unseated him as the God of this age. And now Jesus is the Messiah of the world, the one who's in charge, is in the control room of the heavens and the earth, right? And so that's one of the things we see at Easter. But then I think it also becomes like a rubric for us to witness other things in our life. We have been discipled to bring evaluation of things and to people and to situations. And if we're not careful, we could lose sight of having a discernment about how to look at how God sees things and God sees people around us. And so what we see at Easter is this: when Jesus is vindicated, and he was overlooked and he was despised and he was rejected, but God receives him and vindicates him. Like, this actually shows us that perhaps we've been missing some things along the way as well. So maybe the people that we wouldn't deem quite impressive might actually be quite helpful and quite meaningful if given a chance, right? And this is something that we know that we've seen in our own experience, and we've seen as people tell their tales that, you know, this person in the work group or that person on the team or this person in our family, they weren't always the first picked, but along the way they came in at a crucial time, right? And so this is central to our discipleship, right? Can we recognize that we have to undergo like a renovation of our valuation of things? That we should actually be more prayerful and discerning and say, God, in the past, I've kind of overlooked such things, but now I know that I need to reconsider some things. So help me, teach me your way. Just as you use Jesus, who was quite common and among the working poor in a very insignificant part of the world at that time, but he became the world's savior. Like, help me to have a renegotiated rubric on how to evaluate things so that I can be in the middle of the promises and the plans of God. So with those things in mind, let's spend some time praying to our God this morning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we cry to you because we need to be rescued. We need to be rescued because of our sins, and we thank you that at some time along the way you helped us in our helpless state and you brought us into the family of God. And even though the record of sins have been canceled against us, we understand that we still fight with the power of sin and the allure of sin. And so we pray that you would be our Savior once again. You'd fill us with your light and your life and allow us, because of your grace, to soar over the temptations of our day. God, we also pray for your help because we overlook things, and we even reject things that you value so much. And we know that we're on a journey, that we are growing in our faith, but we know we got a long ways to go. And so God, this day, help us as we think about the ramifications of Jesus's life and his ministry, the crucifixion and the resurrection. Help us to reckon with how we need to see the world, maybe even upside down, a different way of evaluating what is good and true and noble and lovely. And so we just pray for your help this day. We've overlooked things. We've missed things. So we pray that you strengthen our discernment. Help us to hear your voice so that we could recognize how you're working in and through our lives and in the world around us, so we can join you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.